This morning our scripture reading is taken from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And I'll read in your hearing. And my God will meet all your needs, all according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to the scripture in Jesus' name, amen.
The scripture reading this morning was quite a short scripture reading, one I'm sure all of us are familiar with. If we look at the scripture reading from the King James Version, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. The NIV says, my God will meet all your needs. And the English Standard Version reads, my God will supply every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Comparing these different versions, each one slightly different, and each one giving a slightly different perspective. Supply all your needs may give the impression of physical need being supplied, while meet all your needs may communicate physical or material, emotional or spiritual needs being met. Recently, I received this scripture reading as one of those Facebook picture posts. Later in the day, I recall while driving home thinking about this text. And sadly, thinking there clearly isn't too much riches there then, is there? Although I felt instantly guilty and asked for forgiveness, this thought revealed a lack of understanding in me. A lack of understanding of this verse, but also of economics. I don't think anyone here today, and I have had a look, is old enough to have lived through the period of 1929 to 1939. The Great Depression. During this time, 25% of the American workforce were unemployed. There simply was no need for what they could supply, services or goods. There was no demand. Today's American workforce can supply more than 17 times what was supplied during the Great Depression. Yet, their unemployment rate is at 3.7% as of last month. Somehow, an extremely low demand for goods and services in the 1930s is sufficient to match a huge increase in supply decades later. How was this even possible? Jean-Claude Baptiste Say, a seasoned economist, was responsible for what is today known as Say's Law. In a nutshell, Say's Law is that supply creates its own demand. Now, if you are anything like me and not an economist, just hold on to the thought that supply creates demand. I'm sure that most of us are familiar with wooden building blocks or Lego presented to toddlers. When I was presented with a pile of building blocks, I always attempted to build a masterpiece. Therein lies a clue to what my future career may be. In May this year, I flew to Cape Town via South Africa. The plane was circling, waiting for its allocated landing slot. Looking out, the area below was familiar to me. I had grown up in this area. I could identify the different motorways crisscrossing each other. It was rush hour, and the roads were packed with tiny colored blocks, cars of various shapes and sizes. I knew nothing about any of the occupants within any of these moving blocks. Each person was nameless, faceless. I knew nothing of their joys, hopes, or pain. What struck me was the total insignificance of man. Compared to heaven, the plane I was in was comparatively close to earth. Yet I could know nothing about any person in one of those moving blocks. Luke 12, verse 7 tells us that even the hairs on our head are numbered. And Jeremiah 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. This does not sound like insignificance, does it? God intentionally made you. God knew you and me, every detail, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Before we were born, in such detail that he knows the number of hairs on our head. This level of love is intentional. Intentional love is committed. It's such a deep love that no feeling can compare. God so loved each one of us that he made the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his only son for our ransom before we were born. And the supply, and immeasurable supply of love. Love that says, you will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of God. Isaiah 62, verse 3 and 4. C.S. Lewis writes in The Problem of Pain, we were not we were made not primarily that we may love God, although we were made for that too, but that God may love us. Take a moment to consider that we were created to have love poured out on us, to be a crown of splendor, a royal diadem in the hand of our God. But Satan uses our royal titles against us. In the same way that Satan deceived Eve, he deceives us today, reminding us that we are children of God. He twists and views our feelings to make us feel insignificant, to cause us to be overwhelmed by our sin and believe that we cannot be loved. To others, Satan gives a sense of entitlement. If someone is entitled, they'd have no reason. On the one side, God provides an endless supply of love. And on the other side, Satan provides an endless list of arguments why we are not loved, why God is not a God of love. Blaming God for suffering and pain. How often have we not heard the statement, if God was a God of love, why does he allow these things to happen? Pain is an unfortunate consequence of Satan's original sin. But God, through his love and mercy, even uses pain caused by Satan to draw us closer to himself. It is a fact of life that we learn more through pain than through pleasure. Carl Jung, in Contributions to Analytical Psychology, states there is no coming to consciousness without pain. It is very easy to question God's supply of all our needs when we are in the throes of a painful crisis, when it's so easy to forget that patience and faithfulness are fruits of the Spirit, along with the ones we actually like: joy, peace, and love. Life will not always be easy. It requires patience and faithfulness on our part, trusting that God will supply all our needs, even when we are in need of a remastering. The lyrics from one of my favorite songs by Danny Gokey, entitled Masterpiece, reads: heartbreak, a bittersweet sound, know it well, it's ringing in my ears, and I can't understand why I'm not fixed by now. I begged and I pleaded, take this pain, but I'm still bleeding. Heart trusts for certain, but head says it's not working. I'm stuck here still hurting, but you tell me you're making a masterpiece. You're shaping the soul in me. You're moving where I can't see, and all I am is in your hands. You're taking me all apart, like it was your plan from the start, to finish your work of art for all to see. You're making a masterpiece. Guess I'm your canvas, beautiful black and blue, painted in mercy's hue. I don't see past this, but you see me now. Who I will be then, there at the end, standing there as your masterpiece. We are heavenly royals, living in enemy territory, and God will supply all our needs, even our need to be reshaped and remade into his likeness. With all this supply of love, where is or what is the demand? In the same way that supply in economics creates demand through entrepreneurship, an entrepreneur has demands for materials, skills, and location in order to provide goods or services. And in turn, each of these elements respectively creates demand. If we agree that demand is another word for need, then as we learn to trust and take God at his word, even when we don't see immediate results or feel that it's working, our demand or our need for more of him, for his love, grows. We learn that God is not a dictator. Come now and let us reason together, he says in Isaiah 1 verse 18. Our need and indeed dependence on God and his character of love grows as our experience with God grows. Psalms 121 verse 3 tells us he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Not only did God know us before our birth and know the end from the beginning, he also walks with us each step of the way. Isaiah 41:13 says, do not fear, I will help you. And Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, I will make your path straight. Psalm 62, verse 5, my soul, wait in silence for God only. My hope is in him. When our need, our demand of God grows, we learn five things. A heart for God prepares us to be used by God. It teaches us that the Spirit of God equips us to do his will. Fear in God is way better than physical strength in overcoming our sin and obstacles in our lives. It teaches us that the glory in our lives, our successes, and our victories are not ours at all. They belong to God. Sin can bring horrible consequences, but it also teaches us that sin can be forgiven. May our hearts be inspired to keep God first, above all things. Let him be our highest priority, our greatest passion, our first allegiance, our center, source, foundation, and goal. To the greatest supply, may we bring the greatest demand. Join me as we consider the words of "Be Thou My Vision" as we sing it together.